You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, UW-Platteville hosted a policing conference featuring national guests and local activists last Friday. We'll talk to a reporter who covered that conference to get the details. First, new census data released last week shows that household incomes in 2015 rose by more than 5% for the first time since 2007. But while Wisconsin has aligned for the most part with the national average, there are still municipalities struggling with static poverty rates, including the state's most populous city, Milwaukee. Joining us now to talk about household incomes is Steve Deller. He is a professor of agricultural and applied economics at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon.
Well, let's look back at those national numbers. 5.2% may not sound like a lot, but what does this mean for people?
Actually, this is a reversal of a long-term trend. Essentially, since the Great Recession started, incomes really haven't been growing that much, particularly when you take into the effects of inflation. If you factor in inflation, this is the first real strong growth that we've had in almost 10 years. So this is a very good sign.
So this is, we're talking before the recession started.
Yeah, there was, at the U.S. level, there was modest growth from about 2003 to 2006, thereabouts. There was modest growth. And then the Great Recession hit, and it just kind of, it bottomed out. And the recovery has been painfully slow. But these last numbers are really kind of showing that the economy started to pick up some speed.
So that means, would you call this a strong trend, a strong indicator?
Well, it's difficult to kind of say if this is a long-term trend or a one-year blip in the data. Generally, you like to see things moving in the same direction three periods in a row. But since this is annual data, it's kind of, you know, waiting 3 years to see if this is a trend or not is really not very satisfactory. I would think that given current behavior, I think that this is the start of a positive trend upward.
What do you think is fueling that rebound?
I think a lot of it has to do with the jobs market. We've had a record number of months in a row that we've been seeing job growth. And when you see job growth like that, you start to see pressure on the available supply of labor. And when you see that, employers start to bid up wages to try to attract employees. And when they bid up wages, that's going to transfer into, you know, stronger household income.
Now, is there any way looking forward, as you said, you need maybe three data points to know if we're talking about a trend right now or a blip, but are there indications right now that the jobs that we're seeing and the incomes that are rising, is this the sort of the makings of a durable sort of future for incomes?
Well, again, this is the economy is really kind of generating jobs at two levels. One is low skill, low education level jobs. And there's a lot being generated at that level. The other end is the higher end. And what's happening is that those jobs kind of in the middle of this distribution, those are where we're not seeing growth. So, it depends on which one of those two are going to dominate. I think we're seeing some upward pressure on those low-income jobs because it's simply, employers are finding that they have to pay a little bit more. So I think I think if the continued trend goes the way it is, I think we're looking at good times.
And looking nationwide again, where are we in terms of unemployment?
Unemployment, Wisconsin has been doing fairly well on unemployment. Economists will always be debating about what is the optimal level of unemployment. We'll always have some unemployment because there's always a churn in the economy. People are leaving jobs, businesses start and close and whatnot. Some economists say that it's 4% would be a healthy unemployment rate. Some say no, 3.5%. When you start to get unemployment rates down around 2%, like you see in Madison and Dane County, oftentimes, that's where you can really say that there's a serious labor shortage.
And I want to look closer to home now in Wisconsin and focus our lens there. So looking at trends in household incomes in Wisconsin, how does it look?
Well, again, the last year and this year is an upward tick. Again, I think it's starting to reflect kind of what's happening nationally. But for Wisconsin, real median household income has been declining since 2006. Indeed, it's the peak median household income was about $65,000 in 1999, and now we're only at $55,600. So there's a gap of over $9,000 between the peak in 1999 and today. So we have, this is a good sign, but we still have a lot to work on.
So what areas do you think we need to be looking at to make up that gap?
I think that we need to start moving our thinking of in terms of what does the economy of tomorrow look like. I think too often we tend to look at what our economy was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and we want to try to rebuild that. And you can think of it in terms of kind of the old strong legacy industries of the state of Wisconsin, food processing, paper, manufacturing, things like that. I think in order to kind of revive income growth in the state, we need to start thinking about what is the economy of the future. Looking at software development, biotechnology development, and investing in human capital that will kind of spur that type of investment.
Is that the story in other parts of the country where we are seeing maybe more robust growth in the economy, that they are looking at not the past economy before the recession, but what comes next?
Yes. Education policy, one of the ways that we influence economic development in the strongest ways related to education policy. And we can do it in one of two ways. One is to kind of what are the immediate needs? What do we need right now? And invest in providing those types of workers. The other is to say, well, what is the economy going to look like 5, 10, 15 years from now? And we need to invest in education in order to kind of push that type of development. I think Wisconsin has been falling. Wisconsin historically always been looking forward. You know, what's the economy going to be 10 years from now? How do we make investments now? I think over the past 10 years or so, we've kind of slid backwards a little bit. And I think we're more focused on what are the immediate needs as opposed to what are the needs of the future.
We're talking with Steve Deller right now, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, talking about news showing that household incomes are on the rise for the first time in nearly 8 years. And Stephen, how do you do what you just talked about? It sounds like a tough trick to be focused on what is ahead instead of the urgencies that are right before you on your plate and solving those problems first. How do you make that shift?
It's easier said than done. I'll be perfectly honest. But I think it is creating opportunities for people to kind of make these decisions on their own. I think a lot of it is to encourage youth to kind of explore their career opportunities. What do they want to do when they grow up? And right now, the tone has been really kind of looking at immediate employment opportunities, kind of what are the legacy industries looking at, as opposed to kind of pushing yourself a little bit farther into some of these other types of industries that will be growing. So is the labor supply responding to the demand, or is the labor supply kind of shifting and changing the way that we think about what the economy will be?
Now let's talk about Milwaukee, Wisconsin's biggest city, and get a handle on what's happening there. The picture a little more complicated. What do you see when you look at the economic picture in Milwaukee?
Milwaukee is, well, if we're talking about the city of Milwaukee, or are we talking about the metropolitan area?
Let's talk both.
Well, there's a big difference. Because if you look at some of the richest counties in Wisconsin, richest in terms of, you know, median household income, you got Osage County and Waukesha County and Washington County. They're all right there. And Jefferson County now is becoming part of that. They're some of the richest. But, you know, Milwaukee County is one of the lowest outside of the really rural areas. Indeed, if you look at some of the fastest growth counties, Osage County had some of the fastest growth. Jefferson County had some of the fastest growth. Milwaukee County actually had a growth of about $3,000 in median household income, which is a positive sign. So Milwaukee, the city itself, has several issues that it has to deal with. But the metropolitan area is doing okay. So you kind of have this region of suburban areas that are doing fine. They're not busting the doors down by any means. But then you've got this center of Milwaukee that's kind of holding the area down.
And you've got, it looks like, some pretty static poverty rates in the city of Milwaukee. What do you see there?
They're not really, I mean, the poverty rates in Milwaukee really aren't changing that much from one year to the next. I mean, they're pretty flat. But you are seeing some growth, particularly on the south side of the city. And there's been some new reinvestment in manufacturing in the area. So I'm not ready to say that Milwaukee's turned the corner, but there is some positive indications that are going on there.
Steve Deller is with us right now talking about recent census numbers showing that household incomes are on the rise for the first time in nearly 8 years. And we want to hear from you on this. If you were affected by the Great Recession, have you noticed your income improving? What would you like to see change if you are still feeling that pinch from the Great Recession? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up that conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. And if you're just joining us now, we're talking about census data released last week that shows household incomes are on the rise for the first time since 2007. And we want to hear from you on this. Do you feel as though your own income has improved since the beginning of the Great Recession? Or do you feel like you're still recovering? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Are things better for you and for your family? You can also leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. Steve Deller stays with us. He's a professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. And Steve, when you look at areas of growth in the city of Milwaukee, you just pointed out a couple of bright spots that have the potential to be job creators. One of them that you named is manufacturing. And manufacturing, I think, is an example of the old economy of Milwaukee, not the new. Are you also seeing that new economy you were talking about?
A little bit. That's taking place more in the suburbs than in the city of Milwaukee a little bit. And when I say that, you know, the legacy economy, that we focus too much on the legacy economy, I'm not saying that we should throw it out, that we should ignore it. I mean, we do have a comparative advantage in manufacturing, particularly small-scale, flexible manufacturing. That's something that we shouldn't just say, okay, well, we're going to wash our hands of manufacturing and walk away from it. That would be a mistake. I think the question is, what's the proper balance between trying to nurture and retain the legacy industry of manufacturing and looking to the future? What is that proper balance? And I'm thinking that in Wisconsin right now, that thought process is a little out of balance.
And I want to ask you, this morning in our editorial meeting, we were talking about the role of the economy in the conversation around the presidential race. I think there was a clip of Bill Clinton talking with a gentleman who was working in a deli, and he said that the man in the deli said he's not hearing enough about the economy, and that's what matters to him is the economy. Do you think we're hearing enough about it?
No. I hear about it all the time because that's what I listen for. But I would imagine that the current presidential debate is really kind of unique. I think we're on new territory here in terms of how that discussion is going forward. I think that rather than having a debate about policy issues and essentially saying what are the issues that we're dealing with, we're listening to sound bites. And we can't really have a legitimate conversation about the economy and security and the future of the country through sound bites. And I would agree with that deli owner that we're missing an opportunity to have a more important conversation.
So we've got the debates coming up in, I guess, a week or two. If you could write a question or two for the candidates, what do you want to know about how they would handle the economy?
I guess it would be to Trump, because if you look at what his policies are, it's essentially good old-fashioned supply-side trickle-down economics. Cut taxes dramatically and increase defense spending. We've tried that. It doesn't work. We've tried it numerous times. You can look at what's happening to Kansas, and it's not working. Essentially, what it's going to do is going to explode the deficit, which is not so much the deficit in and of itself isn't that bad. The problem is who's funding the deficit, who's buying those government treasury notes, and it was Japan. Now it's China. I mean, do we really want China to own essentially the banker of the U.S. because of the deficits we're running? I think that that's a strategic issue that we should be talked about, but we're not. So I think it would be more, you know, we've tried that, and history is, we've tried supply-side economics, and history has shown that it doesn't work. Why you continue to promote it?
Let's take a caller now as we continue our conversation with Steve Deller from UW-Madison, looking at some rising income levels in Wisconsin, also some poverty rates in Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, that are not moving, and wondering if you feel more prosperous right now, and also if you think we're talking about the economy enough during this presidential election season. We have Mike on the line. You can join in, too. The number 800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. And Mike is next in Madison. Mike, hi.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Steve. I really think we need a big shift in the economy, and we need to consider the environment as well. And right now we have a lot of big businesses that are polluting the commons with airlines, a lot of individuals driving too much with gas hogs. We have to find a way to pay people who pollute less and therefore add to their incomes. And people in Milwaukee who don't do those things, basically, would get subsidized to some degree, but they also would be rewarded for not polluting our environment the way everybody else is. Climate.
Mike, thanks a lot for those comments. Mike wanting a way to incentivize the green economy and build from there, partially. What do you say to Mike?
Actually, I think it's a very good point, because, again, a lot of our legacy industries are not necessarily environmentally friendly. They're working on trying to make it more friendly. You look at a lot of the agriculture, they're trying to adopt new technologies to minimize the environmental impact. But a lot of our legacy industries do have a negative impact on the environment. Now, you flip that around and you say, well, what about the economy of the future? If you want to go so far as to say, you know, what are we going to draw? How are we going to attract the creative class, if use that phrase. The research suggests that a lot of those folks really are looking for high quality of life places to live. They want clean environment. They want recreation. They want cultural events. They want, you know, things that you think of when you think about a high quality of life. Those folks want to live in those kind of places, and then the businesses are spurred after that. So you kind of flip the causation there a little bit. Rather than the businesses driving it, it's really kind of the people that are driving it. It used to be, for years, we would think that, you know, people follow jobs. Well, it's kind of changed now, particularly with the future economy. It's going to be jobs follow people. And where do people want to locate? They want to live in high quality of life places. Now, when you define quality of life, it's going to be different. I mean, some people would think downtown Chicago is high quality of life because that's what they like. Other people think that would be, you know, a hell sentence. So it's really difficult. But things like clean environment, I think we can all agree on that.
And we've focused in on Wisconsin as a whole, and also Milwaukee and the suburbs around Milwaukee. What about rural areas of the state?
The rural areas are struggling a little bit right now. They're struggling really for a couple of reasons. One is the ag economy is really going through a tough period right now. We went through record commodity prices a few years back, and now we're looking at record low commodity prices. So agriculture is kind of in a tough spot right now. The other thing is that tourism is down a little bit. And what we're seeing is that rural areas are simply not experiencing the recovery that a lot of the urban areas are. Are they declining? they're stagnant.
And that may be a hard sell to the creative class you're talking about. Probably that set of people wants to live in an urban area. And if you're talking about a new economy versus the legacy economy, probably in rural Wisconsin, you're talking more about the legacy economy and agriculture. So what do you do? What policies do you put in place to help folks in rural parts of the state?
There is one community in Door County that we were working with, the university were working with, and they wanted to try to, a very pretty place on Lake Michigan, Bailey's Harbor, and they wanted to try to promote more of a year-round economy away from that seasonal economy. And one of the things they wanted to try to do was to promote more home-based businesses, where you would get millennials in this creative class that want to live in a high-amenity area like that, and work out of their home. In order for that to happen, you've got to have broadband, reliable broadband, and they don't have it. So it's this complex puzzle where there's a lot of pieces that are moving around. And one of the pieces that is missing for a lot of rural Wisconsin is access to quality broadband.
And Steve, just briefly, as we wrap up, what markers are you going to be looking for to see whether or not this recovery is going to keep going and whether it's going to keep going for Wisconsin?
I would look at really the kind of the poverty rates. I think that's a big one. The other big one is what's happening to the housing market. A lot of economists, if you want one simple leading indicator of what's happening to the local economy, the community, it's what's happening to the housing market. Go talk to the real estate agents, and they will give you a very clear answer on what's happening. I'd focus on poverty, but more directly, what's happening to the real estate market.
Steve, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Stephen Deller, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, talking about a Census Bureau report showing that household incomes rose in 2015 for the first time since the Great Recession. This is Central Time.